Thank you all for coming this afternoon. Before I get into my presentation, I would like to give special thanks to my sponsors for their support throughout my research program. My research program, as a part of my master's degree, focuses on the impacts of nitrogen and phosphorus fertilization on soil properties in low olivine plantations in the southeastern United States. So fertilization is a common silvicultural practice in the South, and significant increases have been achieved following nitrogen and phosphorus fertilization, particularly in the sites where the most common nutrient limitations were fixed by adding these nutrients. So the main point of our research was to, or in what we were interested in, was to measure the impact of this fertilization on soil nutrient availability. So to do that, we used one of the study sites developed by the Forest Productivity Cooperative in the South, called Region Y18. This region was started between 1998 and 2003 and continues to the present. The purpose of this study was to examine the optimal rates and frequencies of fertilizer applications in yellow olivine plantations. So this is the study, our study, a combination of nitrogen and phosphorus, where phosphorus was added to the 10% of the nitrogen here. So we have the application rate here in this column, the frequency of application every 2 and 4 years, and we have a cumulative nitrogen here in this column. So we have the control treatment with no fertilizer additions, no nitrogen, no phosphorus, and zero accumulation by the year 12 in this period of time. And we have 5 fertilized treatments. For instance, for this particular treatment, the fertilization rate was 67 kilograms of nitrogen applied every 2 years. And by the year 12, we had around 400 kilograms of nitrogen. And as the rate increased here, it creates a range in the cumulative amount of nitrogen that goes from 400 to over 1,200 kilograms per hectare. So, and remember that phosphorus was added at 10% of this nitrogen. So again, we're going to see the impact of this cumulative nitrogen and phosphorus in soil nutrient availability in this period of time. So this is how the response to fertilizer was in one of the studies developed in this particular site in Georgia after 11 years of treatment. But however, we know that the response to fertilization can be site-specific. And we know that the southeastern United States has a variety of soil types across the region. So what we did is we broke down our experimental sites into soil group categories developed by the CRIF classification system, which considers soil drainage, soil texture, and depth to the V horizon. So this slide shows our 13 experimental sites, okay, from Virginia to Alabama to Florida. They are located in a variety of soil types from where we collected our soil samples and we grouped them. So we're going to have 3 sites that are poorly drained soils here, poorly drained clay soils. We're going to have 4 sites for the sandy spodumene soils. And lastly, we're going to have 6 sites for the dry clay soils here. And this is very important because we're going to see how these three different soil types across the region responded to the cumulative amount of nitrogen and phosphorus. So this is a representation of a measurement plot. Mineral soil well sampled from five random locations to up to 1 meter depth, as the figure shows here. We didn't go beyond a depth, 1 meter depth. We did sample the whole horizon here, but for this presentation, we are going to deal with the mineral soil only. And for the statistical analysis, we used the mixed model approach with a variable depth as a repeated measure. So the first slide, the first results that we are going to look at is the total nitrogen concentration for the three soil groups. And remember, these are the wet clay soils, the sandy spodo soils, and the well-drained soils here. Okay? So we have the nitrogen concentration here versus depth here. And the treatments at the bottom here, okay? Each line represents a treatment, and this is the cumulative nitrogen increases from the left to the right. And this is quite interesting because even though given the fact that we added over 1,000 kilograms of nitrogen, there was no treatment effect. Most of the nitrogen was concentrated in the first 30 centimeters and decreased with depth, as we expected. So instead of looking at the total nitrogen, we also looked at extractable nitrate and ammonium to see if they were more sensitive than the total nitrogen. So on the top graph, we're going to have the extractable ammonium, and again, our three soil types, the wet clay soils, the sandy spodo soils, and the dry well-drained soils here. Again, the concentration here in milligrams per kilogram by depth. And like for the total nitrogen, we didn't have a treatment effect either in here. Although we had a little impact in the sandy spodo soils here, potential had a little impact, and also here in the well-drained soils. And like for the total nitrogen, most of the nitrate, extractable nitrate, was concentrated in the first 30 centimeters and decreased with depth. So then we looked at the extractable nitrate here. So first, let's look at the well-drained soils here. Okay? Fertilization had a large and significant treatment effect on the extractable nitrate here. We see a large accumulation of nitrate in the surface and in the subsoil. In contrast, we didn't see any treatment effect here in the wet soils and in the sandy spodo soils. So it seems like fertilization with nitrogen is having just little impact in the mineral soil. So the question is, what is the nitrogen? Or what is happening in the system? So, the first thing that I would like to point out is that we are fertilizing with urea in the south. So probably some of this nitrogen applied was lost through volatilization. We don't know exactly how much of this nitrogen made into the soil, but we know that around 50%, up to 50% of this nitrogen applied can be lost through volatilization. Another loss mechanism can be attributed to denitrification, particularly in these type soils. So even we hypothesized that fertilization stimulated nitrification, so that the extractable ammonium converted here was quickly converted to nitrate, and the nitrate was quickly denitrified in these wet clay soils. And also nitrification applies to the sandy spodo soils because they are poorly drained soils as well. So in Another potential loss mechanism is the leaching. We can see clearly here in these well-drained soils how the nitrate is moving from the surface to the subsoil and is being retained by the fine particle size, fine texture soils here. And in contrast, you know, we don't see any effect of nitrate here. We assume that the nitrate produced in these soils was probably reached all the way through, that we can't even detect it. So now let's look at the extractable phosphorus. Okay, and again, for the three soil systems, we have the concentration here on the top versus depth. And in the contrast, unlike the nitrogen, we see a large and significant treatment effect of extractable or inextractable phosphorus in all the three soil groups here. And we can see that, and it's consistent with the low p-values here that we had, you know. And so most of the phosphorus is being leached from the surface to the subsoils and is retained here by the clay wet soils here in this soil profile. And also, for these well-drained soils, the phosphorus is accumulated in this part in the first 30 centimeters. And because the clay horizon is closer to the surface here. So for this sandy spodo soils, the phosphorus is being concentrated in the pH horizon, pH exposed horizon. So our conclusions are that fertilization have no long-term effect on the total nitrogen and extractable ammonium in the mineral soil in any of the three soil groups. But fertilization increased extractable nitrate in the well-drained soils. And definitely we know that fertilization increased the mineral soil for phosphorus. So our results are consistent with some other research is conducted in the South by other authors, although we expanded our research, you know, to more than just sandy sites. We included the loamy sites and the clay sites to see if they could retain or improve soil nutrient availability, particularly for nitrogen. But it seems like it's only retaining just a little. I wouldn't say a little, I would say little nitrogen in the soil. So it seems like nitrogen fertilization will have a little impact on the long-term site quality, while phosphorus fertilization will have an impact on soil nutrient availability and consequently site quality improvement. I will take any questions.
Yes, sir. I was curious. You were only looking at the total amount applied, but it looked like it wasn't applied all equally. Some of it was spread out equally over time at low rates, and some of it was applied more as a pulse, and then a few years, and then another big chunk. Did you notice any difference between results for the way it was added, or just the total amount that counts?
Are you talking about this slide?
Yeah. You presented an awful lot of data, so it's a little hard to pick apart.
Yeah, I know. It's a little hard to. It's why I tried to be specific in this explanation, but apparently it didn't work very well. Anyway, you know, this is the application frequency every 2 years and every 4 years, you know. And this is the cumulative nitrogen applied for this particular treatment. Okay, this is the cumulative nitrogen, and yet as the rate application went up, we had a range that went up from 400 up to above 1,200 kilograms of nitrogen, cumulative nitrogen over this period of time. Okay, and the 10% of this amount of nitrogen was phosphorus. And we saw the impact, you know, in the three soil groups of these amounts, this cumulative amounts of nitrogen and phosphorus. That's what it was we're looking at. I don't know if that helps a little.
Yes. So how much of it might be in the overrides?
Well, it's hard to say how much it is, but according to the literature, we can. It's been according to literature, we can recover around 50% between the roots, stems, and leaves. And all, yeah, so it seems like all the nitrogen we recovered, you know, it's been just in the trees. Like Miller, it's consistent with what Miller said in his paper. You know, we fertilize the trees, we don't fertilize the soils. Yes, sir.
Well,
but that will save any more questions for the end. Thank you.